Okay, we're holding here, I believe it's in Ayin Tachas Ayin, on page 449. That's what I've marked off. Okay, so Ayin Tachas Ayin, the obvious problem is, why would the Torah say something that is so, why would the Torah say something that is the half of what it means? So the Sfarno says, Kachoy roi kfi adina gomosh emidika gitmida. In other words, the Torah is telling me a certain absolute din. Ayin Tachas Ayin is the absolute din. Uba Kabbalah Sheishalem Amomen, if the Chisorin Hashurasenu, Peniskal Venoisiv Alamido Lashmaba. In other words, money is the practical way to pay for it. But the Torah is putting down a certain absolute. Mishpat is Mida Keneged Mida. The way in which we can execute it is only through mammon. And generally speaking, right from Chloe, I just want to make a point. When people speak, especially a lot of times with Bala Tshuva and so on, people speak about how the Torah system of justice is absolutely much better than the Western world system, etc. There's a big problem with it, that they're comparing apples to oranges, no shares each other. First of all, there's a Joshua Saran. The Joshua Saran speaks about what he calls Mishpat HaMelech. We'll probably see it at some point. He explains where is the role of the Melech to enact Mishpat in the world. And he says it's very clear that the Torah's Mishpatim are not what's needed. It's not enough in what's needed to run a society effectively. There are, rape is unpunished, except for psula. If you don't have two edim, who are massive before and so on. So you definitely need a whole other system that's implemented by the melech to keep law and order. The Josh Ran says it. The Beis Yosef, and I think it's Reish Peches, I believe, brings it something very similar from Chus Rashba. The point is, all these mishpatim that we're talking about, it are a certain absolute sense of mishpat in the bria that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exacts, and he has allowed us to participate in a limited way. So therefore, ayin tachas ayin is mishpat at its appropriate. That's mida keneged mida, and that's what we're supposed to carry out. We couldn't do that, and therefore Kadosh Baruch Hu gave it to us in a way that we could do it. But the Torah calls it Ayin Tachas Ayin. There is a famous Reb Chaim that he says Ayin Tachas Ayin tells me that it's a punitive fine rather than compensatory. It's not meant to pay for the eye. It's meant, because the Gemara is Mashaila, to go with the eye of the Mazik, of the Nizik. It's there to give justice, which is what Mishpatim is. Okay, the next one is in Abar Benel, who speaks about the Einish Mefateh. It seems that's kind of strange. Mefateh, he has to marry her. So Abar Benel explains, V'isboin en Yosha Mishpat Hazeh, understand the justice of this din. A person does not find a girl of equal social status and rank and is mefat to her to live with him, because he could marry her. Avol, the people who are citizens of very chashuv, the upper crust of society, so to speak, the relative upper crust of society, they find girls of a lower social status and they would like to marry them. They would like to have them. They don't like to marry them. But here's a girl that he really fell for. She's very, very attractive, but she's einel fichvoidoi. So what does he do? They convince them to be with them. The Yidra and the Dur and the Kachonashan, they promise and swear that they'll marry them. She's you know, okay, that's the price she has to pay to marry this person. He doesn't believe so, he doesn't think so. He would like to get his due and drop her. Well, this poem says it's a bachurim, and to show off everybody and say how many conquests he's made. It's astounding how little times have changed. It's astounding how, you know, this is not, you know, I mean, maybe today it's different because everything's hefka, but at least in terms of the psychology of things, I mean, could be put into a modern primer and would suck the same way. That's what Torah said. If you seduced her, marry her. Even if she's not the fichvoidei, but maybe her father's not going to give any money for her because of the way it got off the ground. That's the price you pay. Ha'omnom, he says, there's a safety over here, safeguard. Im yikra dove behefich, let's say he managed to snag somebody from a higher society because he's kind of cool or whatever it is. Her father doesn't want to give her. So we don't force her to marry. In any case, but upon him, he has to pay for it because he has to pay for it because he ruined her for other people. Okay, the next one deals with kishuf. Mechashev lo sechaya. So Rabbi Bechaya explains a little bit what it is kishuf. Now, the next few pieces are going to deal with kishuv, whether it's real or not, and what the problem with it is, and so on. In a kishuv, Rabbi Nochai says, "Uchibur dvarim chalukim zemize, because shechabes and dvarim lemata zemize, ken yischabru v'yisarvu akosh lemal zemize." So the Rebbeinu Bechaya gives us a little bit of a sense of it. It's what he's doing is like this. He's being mechaven to create some sort of hashpah lamala that is not meant to be. And he does it by doing some pu'ula lamata that will move around hashpah lamala. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kol Yochel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a system of nature, not only physical nature, but there's a certain mahalach of kohos, etc., that a person can fool around with and play around with it, from lamata going lamala, and being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had separated his kohos and not allowed them to function the way he wants them to, we're assuming that there's going to be some sort of hezek coming out of it, and he says that this is keneged ratz HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll see later Rabbeinu Bechaya who elaborates a bit more, but we'll take a look at the chinuch, which it dovetails the next piece over here. Mishrosha mitzvah sheyidua ki inyan ha-kishuv davara ad me'oid v'goyrim kama tekol zimnei odom ein tzorch leharach bei sheyidu ma'advarim. Kishuv is a very bad koyach. Val kei nitztavinu l'salik min ha-olam ha-mishtadl b'zeh lefi shu bo k'neged chefetz Hashem shu chofetz b'yeshuvoy v'sheyisnaig ha-kol b'darach ha-teva shu'te v'chilos ha-briya. So Rabbi Nechaya points out two elements that are bad with kishuv. One is they're destructive. they never end up good. Two, the etzem desire to change the tfusei ateva, to change some basic natural order, is wrong. The inyan akishiv hu lefidaiti came. Shashem is baruch hu som betchilas abril chol dov dov medivre olam teva lifal pulase teva v'yishar teva z'adah shebara v'tziva kol echot lifal pola l'mineu. Kadosh Baruch Hu put many different elements, items into the world and wanted each of them to function as best as possible. Kadosh Baruch Hu praises the mineu kol ivur. Each one has a special mazel. So a person is taking and creating an unnatural state of affairs by combining things that shouldn't be combined, and what will come out is going to be bad. The Nesrak Mitzad HaNezek Shebehem. So it's very, very interesting that he explains that the reason why refuah and so on is mutter is because it's something that is helpful rather than harmful. So according to the Chinuch, it's almost an automatic proof. If something is if you mix two kolchos, and not clear how we know that, but you know, whoever knows, knows, then we are creating something that's bound to be harmful. If something has a clear toelis, it's medak refuah, it's not a problem. Now, a variation on this is that anything that's dark refuah means that it's a result of physical nature, not some sort of metaphysical nature. In other words, if we experiment with we give an aspirin to three people, halachically three is always a test. Three people have temperature, and they take an aspirin and it goes down, then aspirin has a chazaka that it reduces temperature, and that's that. So it's a tevedika mahala. If a person takes something that has, so let's say a person takes an item that the element is similar to aspirin, and he reasons, and he says if aspirin reduces fever, this is, which is very similar to aspirin, might likely very well also have that effect. That's also all midarka teva, and anything midarka teva really is considered to be okay. We're enjoying to work the world in chulu v'chulu. We're talking about where a person approaches it with some sort of metaphysical, some phenomena that is not natural. And that's what his intent is. That's where we run into the problem. He doesn't seem to say so. The Chinuch seems to talk about if it's proven that it can heal. So Lamarshal, let's say you have something which is clearly not a natural phenomena. Somebody shprechs up ein horus. Somebody does something or other. So according to the chinuch, that should be fine. Since we find it to be beneficial, and it's generally a very beneficial thing, so it would work. According to other shitas, it wouldn't, because it's an appeal to something that's not teva. Let's see. I have here the Rabbi Nebuchaya and the chinuch intertwined. Next piece is the Hemshech Rabbeinu Bechaya. V'hinei chatumim mitzrayim ikach chomosin yakishu v'yoyisim en dvorin refloim b'derech teva. V'dor shechazal lo mekoshman kshofin shemakchishim pamal shomayla. V'akchoshas o pamal yuhu kshodem oysu lemata kovas dvorim shem hefakach sopshutim hanigzorim b'tnos galong zes irin shem nefesh lehem v'hem nikorim pamal shomayla. So what he's doing is, and this is Rabbi Abichai's shita, is that what's wrong with kishuv is it is a tampering with a higher order of nature that's not for a human use. So a person is doing, so anything that we do that explains itself within the system of Tachtonim is permissible. So I can do anything as long as it has a logical explanation. But if what I'm trying to do is fool around with Kochos al Yonim, so there, that's called Makhisha Mepamalia Shalmala. Kadosh Baruch Hu has a certain Seder of Elyonim that he wanted. And when I push that Seder and I try to work around it, that's when I'm doing something wrong. People should not be trying to run the world with something other than nature. So that's very interesting. It almost would be the opposite of what people would accept as the common wisdom. If somebody goes to a doctor and the doctor prescribes some sort of medication based on his symptoms, etc., and based on research, we consider that somehow lacking in emuna, in Yiddishkeit, something or other. If on the other hand, a person goes to some Rebbe and he gets some magical something or other, that's considered to be much more in line with Bitachon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so on. Could be because it doesn't work. So the certain simon the person is relying on Bitachon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a possible answer. But it's all the way around. Anything that's shy up to this world, if Teva, is what's Hashem that we function within Teva. It says V'rapa Yirapa. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to function within that frame. Anything that drays Kreiches that are not this worldly kohos is something that a person should not be engaged in. And it's not appropriate to be engaged in it. So, yes, you can be mechalik halachically, good kohos, bad kohos, derech kishuv, derech this. I don't know. It's a very, very nebulous world. But at least understanding that when a person functions within nature, if his hashkaf is correct, then he's doing something that's in line with Ratzon Hashem. When a person functions with, I don't know what, you begin to stand on very, very soft ground. It's not, I think I told over my, Rabbi Akiva Tatz told me, Dr. Tatz, he's very, very close to my Shapiro. So he once told me that there was a woman that was having a hard time having a child in Machaledes, and he had her, there's a Yerushalayim Eskula, to drink mother's milk. So he told Moshe about it, and he sort of apologized. And Moshe was very not into these things. So he apologized. He told Moshe it probably has validity because there are a lot of hormones in mother's milk, and the hormones probably sort of jumpstart the system, whatever. So Moshe told him, Emishim hormones, a little pill has more hormones than a whole glass of mother's milk. E mishum the schooler shabbo, he said, a rabbit's foot is a much better schooler. So like decide which one of it are you going with. If you're going with medicine, go with a pill. If you're going with schoolers, feel free to hang the rabbit's foot. It's got a track record. Okay. The oid yesh was said. Now the chinuch says another thing. He somehow was able to override the koach hamazel on each min. While Kay Nimnanu Mihalas Rochino Afkinasa Bidena Dover, Shemar bonen rotzen l'achlo dove b'maisek el ha-shlemus. In other words, to do anything that seems to indicate we're trying to override the Ribbono shel Olam's etzem pula is wrong. This, by the way, it's a similar thing in Kalayim, and this is some sort of guide when people talk about genetic engineering or genetic intervention. What's mutter, what's aser? So it's hard to mutter and aser, there's no shacharuch on it, but in terms of hashkafa, there's definitely a place to talk about it. So the klal is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this world, and we're meant to do everything, la'avdol, la'shamra, redu, kifshua. We're meant to develop this world in line with everything in teva. And therefore, like this, eliminating a disease from a person. So you have a fetus, let's say, or you have the sperm or the egg or whatever, that has a defective gene. So I say to myself like this, the Tsuras HaTeva is the following genetic, composition. This person is lacking something, and therefore he's going to suffer. So just like I can give him medication, and I can give him a organ transplant, I can do many things in order to make him, to heal him. So this is in line with healing. We know what the normal teva is. The normal teva is that a person has such and such a composition of blood or whatever it is. His is different. And if we can engineer out the gene that is problematic, we will, that's perfectly in line with what we're supposed to do. On the other hand, let's say we're trying to manufacture a new type of person. We're trying to induce a quality that's not there. Now you're playing God, and that's a real problem. So you're saying that you're trying to create a superhuman, a person who has more the normal genetic components like this, and whatever it is you're going to try to play with it, that I think falls on this category of being wrong. It's hard to put an issue on it, but it's wrong. And also, you don't know what problem you're unleashing. The same thing is true with genetic modification, I think, in plants. A type of genetic modification that could occur, would occur, if you carefully farmed the land. In other words, people want to develop tomatoes that are very red and very, very plump and whatever else tomatoes need. So you do it by breeding generation after generation and breeding different kinds and so on and so forth. If you can accelerate the process to do some sort of genetic manipulation, I don't think that that's a problem. But if a person is trying to develop something be'etzem different, then it's a hard line to draw. It's not always easy to draw. That's wrong. Then he's being created tagger on the etzem notzim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's something that's not right. So I would apply this in that way. Now he says v'yediyas techinah says. At the end of the day, if Hashem didn't want this type of thing to happen, then you couldn't do it by mixing two items. So you're not being makhish the Ribbono shel Olam kaviyachol, because the Ribbono shel Olam is the one who's allowing it. There's a loophole, there's a trapdoor, whatever you want to call it over here, where you can get around something. But you're being makash techochas, you're being makash ma'al shel milo. The fish Hashem is baruch who gozei v'rotzim hazabil is a pool as they say meshem is arvam. Uboi techachs megula la munim aleim. Avl omru shekoyach apamali mukhash mekol vachoy. Umi shekirvas sichloi v'or pnei melech v'koyach schusi yalakoch amamunim. Now, So Rabbi Nachman, the Chinuch is explaining here a little bit. It says in the Gemara that there were certain people that were not scared of Rabbi Ben Doisa, were not scared of Kishuv. Why not? So he explains it as follows, that we just got through saying that the problem of Kishuv is it's in that strata of the kochos of the bria, where a person subverts to kochos, creates a third koach that does his bidding, and so on. So there are people whose darga is the davuk in the Rebbeinu Shel Olam einod melvadei. That's what it says more einod melvadei. I feel my six shafim. That's a darga. So when the person's madrega is that he's beyond that mahalach, then kishuv doesn't affect him, because kishuv never can bend HaKadosh Baruch Hu's erotzen and so on. All it does is it subverts that whole strata of kochos. So a person who's be'etz and beyond, like Reb Chaim Ben Doisa, you know, Mishama Hashem Yadik or Yom HaChoy Masadik, he was in the darga where everything's Rebbeinu Shem's rotzen. He did not have any problem with shafir. Let's see one more piece here. This is Rabbeinu Mechai also. He brings the Rabbeinu Chanan who argues with him. Avol. Das ben chazal be pirush himself Sanhedrin, makhishin, nirikin makhishin. Vomar ke'en l'kshafim pu'ula ke'im ha'shiz Hashem izbar. Uki yasham Rabbeinu Chanina la'oise isha enad mulvarik siv. Ve'af agav, v'shan osam shan Rabbeinu Chanina de nafish shkuyay, so say, shinu yorosem chinalei. Va'adrabe, Rabbeinu Chanina Ositavron, Padrochinia Ositavron. The im Tisha or Kimsh and Shaf and Pula, the Marksh Bok Goiza, Lomas Ostelochis and Misam Hashi. So Lamaisi says, Kishuv cannot accomplish Askash Bok wants. There's no such thing as using any methodology to evoke spirits, kohos, anything. It's always Askash Bok wants. He says, so then he asks, Simokasha, so you're telling me like this. If I did a Maisa Kishuv, a voodoo act, I put a pin in a doll, the person died, it's only because Shmuel wanted to. It doesn't happen on its own. It's not wired like that. So why in the world am I chayev an Einish for Kishuv? But Tami says, Shmuel said not to do it. It's for the pu'ula, not because the pu'ula in itself can accomplish. Hashta, ma misha ova gzeh smelch basadam chayev misa. That's Rabbeinu Chananel. Umitnei shehoi yisrob mugol mukach mazayis kim ayetzim mitzrayim atem mechodesh v'korv adam moed shiitim dar machra v'nesakos amayin nesakach mazayis 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 v'nesakos amayin So the Rabbeinu Mechai is answering in Rabbeinu Chananel that if I'm saying that it doesn't work with Akzias Hashem, so why is this such an elaborate Isser and so on? Why was it told here? So he says, because because Klal Yisrael was so steeped in it, and it was so much part of their natural culture, that they needed a very powerful Isser to get them away from it. So according to the Levatzer Rabbeinu Chaya's own Shita, or a chinuch shita, where a person can do something. It's by mixing the koiches, he manages to create a new koach that wasn't. So at least we're punishing him for creating that new koach that Hashem doesn't want. Over here, why is it necessary? He's doing something wrong, but why is it necessary to assert it so strongly? So he says, because of how deeply it was rooted in Klal Yisrael. So mainly we needed a very strong way to get it off. Okay, any questions, any points?
Can I ask two questions?
Sure.
There seemingly are people, not just Hasidim, but I didn't know this until in recent years, but I met many of them, Sfardim and also from Sfarim, clearly from in previous generations, Sfardim and even some Litvish people today that are much more into skulas, etc., and they seem to even work. And so there clearly is a difference of opinion, I guess. Yeah. And I'm wondering, Rebbe saying that they're just an Echnami, but they're wrong? Or is there a legitimate opinion that's different? Like, I'm not sure how to view those opinions. I'm also like, I was brought up very, very Lithish, so I don't totally have how to view these things, but it exists even in Lithish world.
So,
and my second question is, Rebbe made a distinction between, genetics. Like, I just didn't exactly understand. If Rebbe can give an example, because like someone was telling me that they could change genes today to even let people live longer or something. They can change it, and it's very similar to other things that they do. And I wasn't sure how exactly. I wasn't sure how to draw that line at all.
So the basic line would be, let's go to the second question first. I think the basic line would be, what is normal, what is abnormal? In other words, any disease is seen as an abnormality. You know, we determine normal, you know, by just statistically. And things that people normally have, and a person is missing a gene for that, that repair falls under virape irape. And that I think would be very legitimate. If a person is trying to, so let's say I want a heart that can pump more blood because I want to develop people who run more quickly. And I'm going to play around with that. So as far as we know, the normal heart rate is X and normal heart volume of, you know, and the amount of blood pumped is Y, and I want to change that. So here what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to change something that I recognize as being normal. So the line would be between genetic manipulation in humans to take out disease, but to actually add qualities that we would consider are not the norm, the human norm. In plants and in animals, since we breed them, and a lot of the breeding has to do, we don't breed people, but we breed animals and plants. That's a normal tevailam, and we try to get out of them a type of a species that is much, much better for us. So therefore, any type of genetic fooling around that's similar to that process, you're simply trying to emphasize certain qualities that are good for us, would probably also be, Mali, if I stand and breed like for 50 years the stock until I get the cow that I like, the big, fat, plump cow that gives stroke of milk, then you know, cross a cocoa bean with a cow and then you get a chocolate milk. But so that I would feel is 100% okay. Masha'in came where you bring in a quality that is totally not meant to be there. It's coming from a very different species that in no way does it ever interbreed. I'm trying to bring in a quality from different species. I don't know. I would hesitate. I would think that for two reasons I would hesitate. First of all, I think this is kind of in the ruach of the sisser. I would also generally think a body is a sum total, and it's very hard. You can work out problems, you can weed out problems, but you can't add one without taking away from the other. There's an equilibrium, so we're bound to cause ourselves problems one way or another. You know, someone asked, there was a thing here about genetic things, a few years ago. And someone asked about the Chinese that create a Superman, v'chulo, v'chulo, v'chulo. So I told them, I had an article, there was an island somewhere near Australia, off the coast of New Zealand, Australia, you know, one of those real far off places. And they had a problem there. There used to be a lot of beautiful birds that used to nest over there. Some sailor or somebody or other left over cats. They reproduced it terribly, and they ate up any time a bird would land. It became cat food, and the island lost all the beautiful birds. The kids, they got together. I don't remember which from where, and the scientists from Australia, and they sent an expedition that hunted down every last cat, in a very humane way and got rid of them in a very humane way. Doesn't specify what. But Zell. And lo and behold, they were overjoyed that 2-3 years later, there were birds, beautiful birds, and began to nest there, and they restored the ecology it was, and Ahudim was very, very happy. A short period after, I don't remember, a few years or something like that, in that nature, the whole island collapsed, physically, just collapsed. And they realized what happened was that the earth that had been piled up on the island was held together by it was something that protected against the elements. It was not very strong earth. It was kind of sandy. So you had all these scrub, the bushes there. Now, when you had the cats there, the birds were kept out, and the grass grew, and its roots held the ground well. When the cats left, I think either rodents came or the birds, the grass was eaten up, and there was no anchor for the sand, and it just collapsed, the whole thing. So so you don't know, and a human being is a lot more complex than an island of grass and sand. So you don't know by playing around with something what harm comes of it. It's a machine that's a human machine is extremely it's a well-oiled machine, and pushing one part, you don't know what can be the other part. So I'm not sure that how good in the long run it would be. People think that we create a Superman. Is that I think you'll create a defective person who's you'll find out about it much later. That's all. And that's one of the reasons why testing human beings is extremely regulated and should be regulated.
Same thing with global warming, no?
What about it?
Saying like to try to fix the climate by what humans doing, it's not a good idea.
No, that's the other way around. Listen, let's take another example. If people waste food, people waste things. Anything which would fall under the category of responsible management is fine. But a person saying, listen, it's not the pshat. If we would come along and say, it's getting very, very cold, maybe we should warm up the world. Here's the other way around. We're pouring things into the world that seem to be damaging it. Just like if you pollute rivers, you definitely should clean them up. So if, again,
do a big project that we think we understand the whole world.
It's one thing when we're doing something. It's another thing when we're refraining. We're saying to ourselves, it feels like this is a damaging effect. Let's pull back.
Preventing damage is not a bad thing. Yeah, I mean,
so fine. I think that's a, so anything that a reasonable person feels is, it's just like being but anything that a reasonable person feels might be a problem. So restrain yourself, pull back. That's fine. But here we're talking about the other way around. We're tinkering with something. We're just like a person. We're careful. We don't overeat. We don't overdo that. We try to do what we feel is in line with what the Teva wants from us. How did Teva have a Kach Baruch Hu is?
Okay.
Yeah, I got over the second question. The first question was
more like Svardim and especially in today, some Litvish, like had does Rabbi just speak them, or is there
the Gemara does speak about schoolas. The Gemara says all schoolas are battle except for one specific schoola. Ktoish Elyon have suggested schoolas. So it's just two things. Something which is suggested by a mocker that's very chashuv and very good. It's a mocker alien. It's not for me to say, it's not fair to say that, we don't believe in schoolas. It is. On a practical level, so you go to a certain mahalach, how we approach life. The mila of the / Sephardi / Hasidisha / whatever modern day Litvish of schools is it's seen as being a certain what's the right word for it? A certain chizuk that every comes against Baruch Hu, and you know, the it's like the nechash and choishes. You have to look upwards and say it doesn't make any sense. It's not working because it's fiscally sound. It's because something else is going. So there is a somewhat a chizuk in emuna. On the other hand, there's always the potential where it just becomes a world above the avodah zarah. So in between those two inyanim, there is a balance that different groups try to do. So if something is something that's miyusid by Kedosh Elyon and run by Shuvim and so on and so forth, fine, I have to respect it. But somebody that's running around, I want to tell you a heartbreaking story. I saw it. I physically was at the time. I was privileged to be a neighbor in Azabira of a very big Mekubal, Chacham Hillel. Chacham Hillel is one of the genuine Mekubal in the door, really knows his Kabbalah. He's also a big Talmud Chacham and Yerei Shemayim, a rare combination. And he was my neighbor in Azabira. He was a very busy person. He was running like tons of moistis. As a young man, he was trying to rebuild the Sfari Talmud Chacham. He had moistis, no question, Mishpat, moistis, Kabbalah, and Moises for this, and Moises for Tshuva. And, you know, he was a very, very busy person, raising money for it and giving nonstop shurim. He was a person who could go around the clock without sleeping. Very, very a strong person physically. And I think he was a boxer in his first incarnation. And really person who pushed himself. One day he was in America. He had a very large family. His kids were going to Cheder. And live in Shmuel, so Arzabir was sort of a cul-de-sac of, so the tender picking up the kid, the cheder, picked him up on the other side of Shmuel Navi Street. Shmuel Navi is a busy street. So the kids basically went themselves. The second son, is Shimon's grandfather, was 8 years old. He ran across the street to catch his tender, got hit by a car and was killed. He was in America, Chacham Hillel, fundraising, came back, was sitting Shimon. I went into Menachem Avil, there were tons of people there. He was an extraordinary popular person, extraordinarily. And someone asked him, like, to explain al pi Kabbalah why this happened, like why his kid was killed, basically to give a Kabbalistic explanation. And he looked at him and he said, it's to teach us not to let kids go to the street themselves and to watch over your kids. And they actually gave them to you as a pikudin, and you need to take care of them and make sure, you know, that there was watched and kept safe and so on and so forth. That was what he said. I was there. I heard it. So I'll come upon him. There is some value, you know, it gave a sense of there's more than just this world of cause and effect. There are things beyond. So it is an aid of some sort to Emunah. And it has its problems of, and there were different approaches. Some were very not into it. And Reb Shmuel Rozovsky, the part of Shiva, when he was dying, someone brought him holy water from the Baba Sali. And a bottle of holy water. And with his last ounce of strength, he tossed it across the room to smash on the floor. I'm serious. That was the, and he said, you know, the man needs a clock, not water. So that was his tefillah talk. I don't know, you know, yesh v'yesh, and the other people that certain things held by. I mean, the Gemara does discuss schoolers. Gemara says they're all but except for one. The Gemara says some of them are darkei mori. So the Gemara is listing schoolers that are darkei mori, schoolers that are ineffective, and a schooler that is effective. You know, it's. I don't think there's a definitive saying. There are different nuances, and Chazal say simana milsa. So the marshal, you know, we take the simanim on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. It's a school of thinking. There's nothing there about it that we could say is a derech hateva. But it somewhere along the line, if Chazal gave it to us, and it's mentioned in the Gemara. Then we take it. Anything Chazal gave us, we take. I have a mechutin, Reb Moshe Friedman, who's Yaakov's father-in-law. Very interesting person. He enjoys debunking stuff and proving stuff. Anyway, he's a person sitting, sits and learns, but he's big hanah and all these things. So he brought, the Gemara says, the school of forgetting bones out of your throat, a fishbone got stuck in your throat, is there's a school of nachas blah. I know the first words are nachas blah and something. So he tainas it's a schooler only because it's Sfardim. It's a schooler where all the words are very strong guttural sounds. Nahat, nahat, blah. So it simply gets the bones out of the throat. He said, if you look at it, if you try to say it the way a Sfardim would say it, it definitely would be an amazing way of getting it out. That's once, and you know, it's not bad. It's an interesting gush, but I don't have a definitive. It's like the Nachash when they saw they were worshiping the Nachash, they destroyed it. It's so the Nachash obviously was able to bring people's focus to Shemayim. Once it became Avodah Zarah, you have to destroy it. I think the same is true in all the schools. In as much as it's something that gives you a certain chizuk to Muna and to Avodas Hashem. I think Reb Shteyman told somebody, I just saw it printed recently, as we got schoolers, like once he told him it's nonsense and once he told him to do it, Reb Shteyman told him, if the schooler is a good thing in itself, giving tzedakah, so even if the school aspect not, he feels the schus of the mitzvah is a worthy thing. If the schooler has no inherent mitzvah value to it, then no point to it. That I think was the way he looked at these things. Okay. Good luck.